Ezra chapter 9. I'm going to read the chapter, not to impress you with reading skills, but for context, it'll bear light on when we do get to where we're headed. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. You know something about these Old Testament writers that they associated with the people. Now Ezra's looking at what's going on in the nation, but you notice he's saying our, he's associating with it. Verse 7, since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And know now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Father, we do thank you for the privilege to stand here in Brother Logan's place. We pray that you would use him mightily, completing that missions conference there in Idaho, and that you give him a safe flight when he returns home. Help us tonight. We thank you for what we heard this morning, both in the Sunday school hour and the preaching time. I pray that we build on that this evening. I pray for good liberty, that you make the preaching time easy. If there is one here unsettled, unsaved, that we'd say enough about the Savior to where they'd come before it's too late. Help us now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read it in its entirety. If you understand what's taking place here, the children of Israel had gone away from God, right, gone into idolatry, and had taken strange wives for their sons and given their daughters to strange men. And as a result of that, they brought in the strange gods. And so everything's kind of in a mess in Israel. But look here at verse 8, just a quick note. This isn't the where we're headed, but verse 8 says, "And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God." Ezra's talking about, despite what's going on in the nation, that our God's such a good God, our God's such a gracious God, that he's extended a little space of grace to the children of Israel. Amen. And if you read in verse 9, he picks up on it again. "For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia." And here's the phrase, "to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and repair the desolations thereof." So Ezra's talking about the fact that despite what's gone on in the nation, God had been gracious. God gave them a little space of grace, and through that there'd come a little reviving. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to get political here, but just for a quick thought, just a little chase this rabbit and be done with it. You know, in evangelism, you can chase the rabbit, just don't chase him the whole message. Amen. But when you think about that, you look at what's going on in our nation and how far we've gone away from our God and how we've brought in strange gods and all these kind of things. And yet, I don't mean that the new president's our hope. Don't misunderstand me. He's not our hope. The Lord is our hope. But I look at it in this sense. God's given us a little space of grace. If it had gone the other way, we'd have been hurting quite severely already. Amen. God's given us a little space of grace. And through this, I'm hoping that we might be able to experience a little reviving. Amen. The churches need revival. The nation needs God. You know, somebody said the United States needs revival. No, the United States needs God. The churches need revival. Amen. Well, I'm enjoying this little space of grace. I'm thankful for the way things are going. And again, my hope's not in a man, but it sure is a whole lot better than what it could have been. Secular leadership is important. Amen. But now, here's where we're headed. Look at verse 13 again. "And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this." Ezra's saying we deserve judgment. God should have judged us. Amen. But he's bringing out the thought that our God's a merciful God, that our God's a gracious God. And he's not punished. He says God has not punished us. He's punished us less than our iniquities deserve. I was thinking about the message this morning and how that Brother Ray brought out about that woman caught in adultery. He brought it out well, that both man and the woman should have been brought before those religious leaders. But the thought I'm dwelling on is where the Lord said to her, go and sin no more. Amen. Where are those thine accusers? She didn't get what she deserved. God gave her grace. God gave her mercy. Amen. If you look at it, we're, you know, if you put this all in its entirety, we still deserve judgment as a nation, but God's given our nation a space of grace. But then if we were to put it right where we need to, in reality, every one of us, if we got what we deserved, we'd be a hurting people. Amen. I am so thankful God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. The songs all led up to this too. I'm going to read you a couple other places. You don't necessarily have to turn. In Job 11, Zophar reproves Job in Job 11 in verse 6, the latter part. He says, know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Well, that's true for every one of us. Amen. And then the psalmist writes in Psalm 103 in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Amen. He's not dealt with us after our sins. In other words, we're not getting what we deserve. You know, I hear so many folks talking about, you know, I want what's coming to me. I'm thinking, you're a foolish individual. Amen. I don't want what's coming to me. You know, if we were to ponder it, if we got what we deserved, we'd still be without hope. We'd still be without God. We'd still be in our sin. Amen. But I am thankful that He has not punished us according to what we deserve. You think about some examples in the Bible, and then we'll get to the message. You think about in the book of Genesis, where it talks about Cain and Abel, how that Cain brought the sacrifice of his own labors, brought the fruit of his own labors, and wanted God to have respect unto what he was bringing. That's most of mankind. Mankind wants God to have respect unto what they're doing. Amen. But I, you know, personally, I don't believe Cain brought his worst. I believe Cain brought his best. And that he thought for sure God was going to smile on his offering. What he had worked so hard, tended those plants, and brought those things, and thought for sure God would have respect unto them. Well, you and I know that God had no respect unto it. But Abel, you know, both boys, Cain and Abel, had the same father, the same mother, brought up in the same home. But one had enough sense to realize through his daddy's teaching that what God was requiring was a blood sacrifice. Amen. And Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and God had respect unto Abel's offering, Abel's sacrifice. Well, this infuriated Cain. He was eat up with jealousy and envy to the point to where Cain slew his own brother Abel. Well, Abel's blood cried out from the ground, and God marked Cain. He marked him. Cain ended up a vagabond. Cain ended up wandering. Cain was paranoid his whole life. He just thought everybody had it in for him because God had marked him. Can you hear Cain in his... I mean, he got what he deserved. But can you hear him? My punishment is more than I can bear. If we got what we deserved, we'd be crying out just like Cain. You think about King Saul. When Saul was ascended to the throne as the first king over Israel, Saul was a big man, head and shoulders above all the other men of Israel. If anybody should have fought the giant, Saul should have fought the giant. Okay? But through the course of time, Saul got lifted up in the pride of life. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, God told Saul explicitly to go out and wipe out the Amalekites. I like the way God says to fight war. We'd have a whole lot less problems. Amen. But Saul came back boasting how he had done the will of the Lord. And Samuel said to him, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cattle in mine ear?" Saul picked out what he wanted to do, how he wanted to do, when he wanted to do, and came back thinking he'd done what God wanted. Well, God didn't mark Saul, but God was all done with Saul from that point on. I know Saul lived a number of years physically after that, before he's slain there towards the end of the of 1 Samuel. But God was done with him from that point on. Where I'm headed with this is that Saul had gotten so far away from God that when everything was closing in on him, he brought that witch of Endor in to get quote unquote help from her. Are you with me? Amen. And Samuel was brought up, not because of that witch, but here where I'm headed on this thing is Saul in his anguish there when all this takes place in 1 Samuel 28. Can you hear Saul crying out? He's telling Samuel, "God hath departed from me." That's what we'd be if we got what we deserved. "God hath departed from me." I like what we read in Ezra. It was a New Testament truth in an Old Testament passage. And that's the fact that God doesn't depart from his people. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But if we got what we deserved, we'd be like Saul. "God hath departed from me." I'll give you probably the prime example of this would be the rich man in Luke 16. How that he had the fineries of life, the luxuries of life, anything and everything. And we know the passage says that Lazarus died and was carried to Abraham's bosom by the angels. But in the very next verse, it tells us the rich man died also. And in hell he lift up his eyes. He had no need of God, had no time for God, had no desire for God. And when he lifted up his eyes, he got what he deserved. But can you hear him? "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames." We make much of the drop of water. But what he's crying out for is mercy. God is a merciful God. Thank God he's a merciful God. I like Psalm 136 because every verse ends in the fact that his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Ephesians tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Amen. But there's no mercy after the grave. No mercy after death comes your way. This one who had no time for God, no need of God, can you hear him now? "Have mercy on me." But it's too late. It's too late. He got what he deserved. I like the thought, God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. I got about four thoughts here. And it's go along with some of these that I've already given you. The first thought is this. If we truly got what we deserved, then we should have been banished like Cain. We should have been left to wander through life on our own. God really shouldn't have had anything to do with us. He should have put us out. Amen. When you think about it, Cain and all of his anguish, where he talked about, crying out before the Lord that my punishment's more than I can bear. When you try to ponder that, what God gave to us instead of, what we deserve to be banished. We deserve to be left to wander. We deserved a miserable life. But what God gave to us instead was an invitation.
Amen.
Amen. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
Amen.
And I will give you rest.
Amen.
He says in Isaiah 1, he says, come now and let us reason together.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God gave us an invitation.
Yes, sir.
The book of Revelation, in chapter 22, he closes out with an invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Amen. What God gives us is not what we deserve, but what he gives us is an invitation to come and drink of the water of life.
Amen.
Amen. What a great God we have. Didn't do as was what we deserved. Didn't get what we deserved. When you think about it, you and I didn't have enough sense to come to God. We were at enmity against God. We were the enemy of God. We were like Mephibosheth. What a story of grace. What a picture of grace. How that Mephibosheth is in hiding down in Lodibar, the place of no bread, eking out every day, just getting by. And then one day he hears a commotion, looks out, and there's a chariot of the king pulled up to his place. And the servant of the king comes knocking on his door. The king desires an audience with thee. Mephibosheth, when he did come before God, what do you want with me, such a dead dog as I am? What are you saying? I'm saying because he was the descendant of Saul, that placed him at enmity against David the king. What a picture. Because you and I are the descendants of our father Abraham, that puts us at enmity with Christ our King. Amen. But God didn't deal with us after our iniquities. God didn't punish us after our iniquities. No, he sent a chariot of grace by our way.
Amen.
The sweet Holy Ghost of God knocked on our heart's door, showed us how it could be so much better. What God was offering to us was an invitation to come. Come just as you are. Amen. Receive Christ just as he is and take that which he offers. Amen. What a great God we serve. Amen. We should have been left to wander. We should have had a paranoid life. We should have been miserable in our sin. But instead, God gives us an invitation to come. Well, the second thought is simply this. If we'd have got what we deserved. What we deserved was judgment like that fell upon Egypt. When Moses came unto Pharaoh, Pharaoh had an attitude, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is God that I should obey him? Well, God showed him who he was. Through a series of 10 plagues. By the time God got done, Egypt was destroyed. Egypt was wiped out. Even after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh gathered up what he could and pursued after the children of Israel. And God closed the Red Sea on all of them. Amen. What I'm saying is we should have gotten judgment. We should have been destroyed. Amen. But instead, what God gave us was a lamb. We read in Exodus 12, where it talks about a lamb. And then it talks about the lamb. And then it talks about your lamb. Amen. See, growing up, I heard about a lamb. I heard about Jesus. Not in the right way to where I was brought under conviction. But I knew there was an individual, a man named Jesus. Amen. But then I went to church that Sunday to please Barbara. That old man of God preached me into hell. But halfway around, after he sunk our ship, he told us the way of the cross leads home.
Amen.
And he told us about this one that was just a lamb, how that he was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
He is the only hope for mankind.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
There is no other way. He said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one, no individual cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only hope for mankind. He's a lamb. A lot of folks know about a lamb. They may even understand that he is the lamb. But what you need to do is make him your lamb. You need to receive him and what he's done for you on the cross at Calvary. Well, we should have been banished like Cain, left to wander through life. We deserve judgment like that fell on Egypt, but God gave us the Lamb. But the third thought is simply this, and that is that we should have been destroyed like Sodom. Our nation's that wicked. Our son Ben, in case you haven't heard, he's got 2 years and 4 months, about 2 years and 4 months left in the Air Force to get his 20. And he came back from his deployment over in the Middle East. And when he got back, they let him get settled in an apartment. And after he got settled in the apartment, they come up and told him, you're going to California. They told him, we sent you notice while you were in the Middle East. He said, I didn't get that notice. But they sent him to California. Where are you headed on this thing? Well, what I'm trying to bring out is that Ben didn't want to go to California. He wanted to finish out in Shreveport, in Louisiana. And really, if he'd have been under 2 years, he could have stayed in Shreveport. But because he had 2 years and 4 months, they could ship him to California. What's your point? Well, Ben told me, everything's haywire today. But instead, what God gave us was he gives us deliverance. Again, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll tell you, this thing's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We've got a little space of grace that we need to exercise and make the most of. But in reality, we're going right up to that tribulation period. And it's only going to get worse. But I read in the book of Romans that he has delivered us through the Lord Jesus Christ to where we're not going through the tribulation. We're not going to experience the wrath of God here on planet Earth. But God's going to carry us out. What I'm looking for is I'm looking for that trumpet to sound. I'm looking for our Lord to step out on that cloud. I'm looking for that time when we're going to be caught up out of here. Amen. God's going to deliver us in a big way. Amen. Well, we should have been banished, caused to wander. We should have been judged like Egypt. We should have been destroyed like Sodom. But God gave us grace. Last thought is simply this. And that is, even right now, I've been saved, it'll be 45 years. But if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. I'd join that rich man. I'd have to pay for my own sin. But instead, what God gave me was He gave me a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, I've got a home prepared on the other side. Amen. I don't worry about if, we're getting age on us. Brother John Brown was talking about who's middle-aged and who's old. I guess I'm ancient then. Getting years on me. But listen, when these eyes close in death, don't weep no tears of sorrow for me. Because I'll be in a better place. I know where I'm going. Amen. And I'm going there not because of me. Not because of anything I've done. But because of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. We just came out of last month. They talked about the Passion Week and where even the world had to acknowledge that there was a Savior. But whether they wanted to acknowledge or not, it was the fact that there was a man named Jesus that hung on the cross. Amen. But what I'm getting at is this. He loved you and I that much that He willingly laid Himself down. No man forced Him on the cross. No man took His life from Him. No, He laid it down that He might take it up again. And the reason He laid it down was because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Boy, if we could just get a hold of God really does love us. Amen. And because of that, we're going somewhere we don't deserve. Matt and Sydney, their song relates to it. Talking about getting up there to heaven. And all they have to plead is Jesus. But that's all you need.
Amen.
He's all you need. Amen. All you need is the Savior. All you need is Jesus. What we should have gotten was an eternity of regret in that place called hell. But instead, God gives us a home in heaven. I'm looking forward to when He comes. And it could be any day. I'm not setting a day. There's some who've tried to set a day. But Jesus said, no man knoweth the day. But my Father only. Amen. But I kind of think it's getting close. I'm picturing how the Son is saying, is today the day? And one of these times the Father's going to say, yes, today's the day. And we're going to get up out of here.
Amen.
What a great God we have.
Yes.
We didn't get what we deserve. He's not punished us according to our sin. But he's been so good to us. Amen. I think about testimonies. Why is it so hard for folks to testify? If God's done something for you to do all this for you, then why can't you at least give a word unto Him? Amen. Amen. We truly have a great God. He's given us a space of grace. Hopefully a little reviving. I've seen more saved here in the last couple of months than I saw in a while.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Amen.
Amen.
But he's not punished us to what our iniquities deserve. What's the invitation? If you're here and you've never been saved, be a good day to get in.
Amen.
You heard about a merciful Savior this morning where he asked that woman, where are your accusers? He's a gracious God. If you're here and you've been saved, when's the last time you just thanked him that he's not given you what you deserve, not punished you after your iniquities, but instead given us a space of grace?